Yours will be different than mine. Mine will be different than yours. You say, what is yours? I'm not going to tell you. Okay? And you probably don't want to tell me yours either, but we all have those. You say, I don't, then you're a liar because the Bible says you do. But the truth is, hardness is relative. Again, that's why we need to be patient with, especially with new Christians. Sometimes those older Christians are not patient with new Christians. We forget what it's like. That's why sometimes as parents, we are tough on our children because we think, I mean, we already think so. We've arrived at a point that we've grown so much that what they're doing, I mean, it's like, get out of here. I mean, we get impatient with them. We forget that at one time we were just as nonchalant. We were just as, I mean, just as slow at doing something as they were. Again, hardness is relative. Let me give you now the eight principles. If you get nothing else tonight, get these eight principles. Eight principles that you should apply when you face a hard task. If you want to write them down, you can do that. If not, it'd be something for you to help remember. But eight principles that you apply when I face a hard task. Principle number one, here's what he said. When I face something hard, I start early. Now, by the way, that's a good principle. You start early. What he said was, I allow myself time to succeed. Now, there's sometimes if you don't get started early, you will not get finished. But if you start early, that extra half hour makes it where you don't have to hurry. And by the way, when you hurry, if you've ever been like me, when I'm in a hurry, then I start making mistakes. And then I have to go back and repeat myself, have to do something. That's why I don't ever work in a car anymore. If my car gets, I'm just like my dad. If my car gets where I don't run, I just take it down to the dealership. My dad used to say, I'm going to drive that thing off a cliff. But we didn't have any cliffs close by, so he would take it down to the dealership, and he would trade it in, and he'd come back in a new with a different vehicle. Now, I don't know how many times I've worked on a vehicle, and I mean, I'm banging, and I'm all greasy, and I'm hurting myself, and I finally call Brother Reese, and I would say, Brother Reese, can you come down and help me? And he comes down, he pulls out the right tool, and he does it in like 30 seconds, and I just want to scream, because I'm thinking, I've been working on that for hours. Again, now, in that case, it wouldn't help me to start early, because it didn't matter how long I spent on it, I wasn't going to accomplish it, because I didn't know what I was doing. But again, most hard tasks, again, he says, start early. Second point makes a lot of sense as well. You know what he says? Stay late. Allow extra time. So if you start early, you have some extra time. If you stay late, now I can tell you there are some tasks. If you want to finish, you'll have to stay late. You can't get it done. I don't know how many times when the ladies were decorating for the Valentine's banquet, they spent hours. Some of you were teenagers back then. You remember when they painted the whole wall upstairs in the learning center for the Italian stuff. Now sometimes they would just paint a picture and put the paper up there. I mean we've had all kinds of crazy themes and crazy schemes for the youth for our Valentine's banquets. I mean everything from we actually had a real outhouse. I mean we borrowed it from a farmer and brought a real outhouse that they used to use when we had the hillbilly days. And by the way, I feel right at home with the hillbilly stuff. So I mean that was one of those days. It's like, man, this is good. So I mean I didn't have to dress up. I could dress like I like to dress. But again, they put hours on that. They would start early in the morning, and many times you'd come back at 9 or 10 or 11 o'clock at night. They were still here. You know what they was doing? Staying late. So again, you want to accomplish a hard task, start early. It'll give you time to succeed. Stay late. By the way, if you're going to accomplish something great, there's going to be a price to pay. It's not, I mean, again, great things don't happen but just easily. Great things have to be worked at. I mean, you have to earn it if you want the great things to happen. Number three, he said, I must give more. I must give more, maybe more time, maybe more money, maybe more energy, but you're going to have to spend more. I mean, it's going to take. Now, again, the easy tasks are easy. That's why they're called easy tasks. But there are some things in your life that'll be hard. Some of them might be something with your husband or wife. Some of them might be something with your kids. Some of them might be something on the job. Some of it might be something elsewise. But again, you'll face some hard tasks. So he said, you're going to have to give some more. Number four, he said, I must work harder. Now, again, there were some subjects in school that were easy for me. There were some that were not so easy. The ones that were easy for me, I could have carried on a conversation, listened to music, and still did the work. There's others that you're going to have to shut off the music and you're going to have to shut your face because I got to concentrate. There's some of them that were not that easy for me. And by the way, the subject that was easy for me might not be easy for you. And the subject that was hard for me may not be hard for you. Sometimes when I would try to look at something and I'm trying to figure it out, Miss Reeves would come by and she would just say, you do this and this and this. And every once, she was always so sweet. Sometimes I'd try to explain something. She'd come by later and she'd say, I had to talk to so-and-so because you confused them. Now, I didn't do that on purpose. you confuse them. And by the way, that's not how you do that, the thing you showed them. That's not how you do it. She was so nice. She didn't come up and say, that was really dumb. I mean, she was nice about it, but she'd say, that's not how you do that, Brother Block. Now, that's why typically in the last several years when the kids would raise the flag up, I'd go by and I'd say, I love you. I'll tell Mrs. Reese. I mean, then I'd go on and I'd go tell Mrs. Reese, Sean needs you or so-and-so needs you, because I quit even trying because all I did was just confuse them. I made things worse. But again, I must work harder. Now, he said this, and this has been said many, many times, success is typically 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration. What means you just have to work harder. He said, don't be afraid of perspiration. Don't be lazy in the work ethic. Don't be average. Now, again, there are a lot of average people out there. You and I, as children of God, should not be average. We shouldn't. We should stand out in anything we do. Whatever we do, the Bible says, do it heartily. Bible says that you and I, as servants, we're supposed to do it as unto the Lord. Now, I work to make my boss happy, but more than that, I work because I want to make my Lord happy. And my Lord is happy when I do my best. So again, he said, don't be average in the work ethic. He said, walk quickly, think quickly. Some of the kids in school can tell you that I used to say, walk like you're going somewhere, and you will. Now, that wasn't new. That wasn't with me. I got that from Brother Howes. So typically, I mean, when we walk. And by the way, if you notice, when you walk like you're going somewhere, you will actually get somewhere. Right. Now, there are some people that don't walk like they're going anywhere. They annoy me because they're in front of me. It's kind of like driving. If I get stuck behind someone on the highway, it's like, amen. That's the only time I've ever thought pulling, you know, I want to shoot somebody. I like to shoot at a tire so they pull over on the side of the road and I can get by them. Then if I could, I'd pump it right back up and they can follow me. But people in front of me, now I don't even drive fast, but I know exactly how long it should take me to get to church, and that's how long I give me. And if someone in front of me is not driving the speed limit, it's going to make it where I end up being late. You say, well, start earlier. Well, what if I got behind them again? I mean, because they started earlier, now I'm still stuck behind them. But again, not everybody's in a hurry. So you and I cannot get angry at people that are not moving as fast as us. They might be out sightseeing. And by the way, when people are sightseeing, I mean, they're taking their time because it's like, oh, look over there. Yeah, hey, look, did you see that? I mean, they're sightseeing. They're not in a hurry. They don't. Because sometimes we'll say, don't you have any place to go? And the answer sometimes is, nope. Sometimes people don't have any place to go. They're just out driving around. Now, I do not drive for fun. Some of you might. How many of you remember Mrs. Peters? Mrs. Peters used to like to drive. So we'd say something like, man, if we need to, she'd always say, I'll drive. And I'd say, knock yourself out because I don't like to drive. Now, I also don't like to ride with someone else when they're driving, but I don't like to drive because I don't make a very good backseat or front seat driver. But because I trust my driving, and I might be crazy, but at least I'm crazy with reason. When you drive crazy, Paula Patton used to say, Brother Block, when you ride with me, it's an experience. I did not want to have an experience. That's not why I got in the car. I wanted my heart rate to stay the same. I did not want it to speed up. I did not want to be screaming and looking through my fingers as I was riding in her car. But again, not everybody's in a hurry. So sometimes you might have to be patient with the one. But again, he said, walk quickly, think quickly. Push yourself to new heights. Now, again, not everybody tries to be their best. Not everybody's striving to get ahead. You and I as children of God should be. He said again, don't take so many breaks. Now, I always appreciate the fact that in Bible college, our guys, were many times the boss would say, you got any more guys over there at school like you? Because our guys in Bible college had a good reputation. Now, here's the thing. We didn't take, if you've ever worked a public job, there are a lot of guys that they quit 10 minutes before break time to go wash up. So, I mean, when break time comes, they have the whole break to themselves. There's some that go to the bathroom for 10 or 15 minutes before break time starts so they can be in the bathroom for 15 or 20 minutes. There are some guys that hardly work at all. Between the bathroom breaks and the wash up breaks and the regular breaks, I mean, they're always breaking. But again, if you're going to accomplish something that's great, you probably won't be able to take very many breaks. Another thing he tells you not to do is don't watch others. They'll frustrate you. By the way, also don't watch the clock. So that was all underneath number four, I must work harder. Number five, I work at making solutions, not excuses. Now, there are a lot of people that go through life making excuses. They're always excusing why they can't accomplish something. Now, listen to me. The truth is, God made you and I fearfully and wonderfully. You and I mean, this is most of this doesn't even get used. I don't know what the percent is now, but years ago, the percent was less than 10% of your brain or my brain gets used. Sometimes we joke, hey, you can have a brain, you know, we need to have a brain transplant. Yours has hardly been used. I mean, we joke about that, but the truth is we don't use much of our brain. Right. Our brain, I mean, it is an amazing thing. It'd be nice if we'd work it. It'd be nice if we'd use it. But again, he said, work at making solutions, not excuses. Now, when you get used to making excuses, and I can tell you as in the school, we heard a lot of excuses. Now, some of them were pretty good. I mean, some of them we'd laugh and go show the other teacher because some of the kids came up with some really good stuff. He said, but look, what are they? Again, if you forget, you're talking to the guy that can't remember what he ate yesterday, so I don't remember what those were. But we had some that we would laugh about, and we'd go and show. And by the way, we had some kids that would love to try to sign their mom and dad's signature. Problem was, we kept a copy of mom and dad's signature, and now some of them really worked at it. I often said if some of the kids worked as hard at doing the schoolwork as they did again trying to get out of the schoolwork, they'd have been better students. But again, he said, again, work at making solutions, not excuses. Invest energy in solutions, not excuses. Number six, I must care more than others. Now, there are a lot of folks that just don't care. A lot of people just want to be average. A lot of people just want to, that's why I always tell the teenagers, if you work any place for 6 months, you should be on your way to administrator. By the way, if you show up on time, you show up regularly, you obey the boss, and you work hard while you're there, you are one of a kind. You are. The rest of the folks are average. Most of them, all they care about is putting in their 40 hours, and some of them don't even want to put in 40 hours, but putting in their time and getting their paycheck. That's all they're just concerned with getting by. Now, a child of God should never be concerned with getting by because that's wrong. He tells us that when we work for the servant to the master, we're supposed to do it as unto the Lord. And by the way, I hope you and I don't try to just get along with the Lord. I hope we don't just give the Lord, you know, half of our talent or half of our ability. I hope we don't just do an average job for God. Now, he said, I must care more than others care. And again, it is important that you realize people can see that you care. I remember one time when I was in Oklahoma City, I was just a young person, but my dad taught me to work, made us work on the farm. We had chores. There were a lot of things that I used later to make money because we painted pig houses, we painted barns. I mean, we had done a lot of different types of, my dad was a carpenter, so we did a lot of construction stuff. So there were all things I didn't realize I knew. Now, there's some stuff I didn't pay attention to. Kirk can tell you because I've explained it to him, but the first time I built a fence, when Brother Craig and I bought the property out there, we put a fence post in, we dug a big hole, we put two or three bags of cement around it, and it was like, yeah, that's the corner post. We went down here, and we put some other posts, and then we went down there with a come-along. We started tightening up that wire, and we could go boing, and more of that wire was tight, and we nailed it all off. Then we went and put the second strand and the third strand. Problem was this. We didn't realize why usually you see two posts like this, and there's a board coming like from here to here. And that's because when you put all the pressure on this post, if there's not that piece of wood going from here to here, if there's a piece of wood going from here to here, this post can't move because that board's going into the ground and the ground doesn't move. But we put our second strand on. It was pretty tight, the third strand. And then the next thing we know, our bottom strands are loose. And we thought, they were just tied a minute ago. We go back and this post, this big old corner post that we put in, it's like this now. So we had to take all the wire, and by the way, it's not easy to roll barbed wire back up. We had to roll all the wire back up. We had to go back and do it right. And then it's like, oh, that's why they do that. Now, again, as a kid, and by the way, also, you're supposed to put your wire on the inside of all your posts. Because that way, when the cow is trying to reach through, that nail is here, or that wire is here, and they're pushing against the post. And when you put it on the outside, and they push, guess what they do? They pop all those nails off in time, so soon they can just walk through. Now, again, as a child, I didn't pay attention. Dad just said, you know, nail this or put these wires on, and I just followed directions. He didn't tell me why he did certain things. That's one of the reasons I like explaining stuff. And by the way, parents or workers or bosses, if you can explain stuff, it does help. They might, and again, if it makes sense to them, it's a little easier to get people to do stuff than just because I told you so. And by the way, there's lots of times I did just because my dad told you so, because if not, you did not like the you know, the payment that you got if you didn't do what you was told to do. But again, he said, again, you got to care. Number seven, he said, beg for God's help and remember to thank him for the help when he answers. Now, we are very big on that. We pray and we pray and we pray and we beg God. Then when he helps us, we say, thank you. Now, what he says is thank him as much as you was asking him for help. Now, we don't always usually spend very long thanking him. Brother Hauser had an issue a couple days ago, and as a farmer, I've been where he's been. He had some livestock that got through the fence. You know why they say cows always think the grass is greener where? On the other side of the fence. Now, there can be perfect grass here, but you know, they always wonder if that grass over there tastes any better than the grass over here. Now, you could tell them ahead of time it does not, but you know what? They don't listen, okay, because they're animals. And so he had some cows that got out. They got out on a piece of property that was 1,000 acres. It's hard to find a cow on 1,000 acres. And I told him, I said, brother, I've got lost in my own property. I do not want to go out on 1,000 acres. And I said, I love you, brother, but I said, get permission and we'll take the four-wheeler because the four-wheeler's a lot easier because, I mean, I've got lost in my own. Now, Kurt's a smart aleck. Kurt pulls out his phone. We're out in the woods one night. He pulls out his phone. And he says, we're right here. And I'm thinking, how did you do that? Because he can do whatever he does and show exactly where he's at. Say, what did you do the night you got lost? Two things. My rooster's an idiot. He likes to crow all night long because we have a big pole light, and he thinks the sun's coming up. So I heard the rooster crow, and I headed for the direction of the rooster. And you say, well, if the neighbors had rooster, then I'd have been at the neighbor's house. But when I got lost, I was thankful for the rooster. And then later when I got a little closer, I saw the light that the rooster thought was the moon or the sun, and I was safe at home. But again, understand, if we beg God, and we do sometimes, especially if we're going to get in trouble. You kids, like all of us adults did when we were kids, sometime when we did something we shouldn't have, we begged God. God, I promise you. And we promised God some amazing stuff. By the way, we'd all be wonderful Christians if we kept our promises we made to God as kids so that our parents wouldn't find out something. But we promised God, God, please, if I don't get punished, I mean, I promise you I'll never do it again, and I'll do this and this and this and this. But again, so what he said is, when you beg God for help, and you will, make sure that you thank him as much as you begged him for help. Notice in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Now, usually running worries you out. But when you got the strength from the Lord, you can run and you're not weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, normally, running and walking wears you out. But when you have the Lord's help, it's amazing. When you have God's help, that's not the way it turns out. Again, you and I are living on borrowed food. We have borrowed water. We have borrowed breath. God gives us all that. So we need to make sure that we thank him on a regular basis for all that he does for us. He mentioned in the book, he said, don't use God as a credit card. And that's how a lot of Christians use God. When we need him, we pull him out and we use him, and then we put him back and we forget about him until we need him again. God likes to have fellowship. You know what Genesis, remember what Adam and Eve did? How they walked daily with God in the garden because God liked to fellowship with them? He did. And by the way, God likes to fellowship with you. Now, we like to fellowship with each other, and that's a good thing, but we also want to spend some time fellowshipping with him. Spend some time talking to him. And then the eighth thing, and I'm done. I do not compare myself to those who are doing that which is easy. Not everybody has a hard task today. They faced a hard task last week. Their job's easy today. Again, don't compare yourself to them. And by the way, this happens all the time in school. A high school student will say, well, yeah, I mean, so-and-so, that grade school kid can get that stuff up. That stuff's easy because they're in physics or they're in algebra 2 or they're in geometry, and they're saying, but this is hard. I can't get as many stars up as they do. And I said, all right, let's think about that for a second. The fourth grader is doing what? Fourth grade work. That is hard for a fourth grader. A third grader is doing third grade. Now, for a senior, third grade work's pretty easy. Or we hope it is, okay? I mean, we hope that third grade work is easy for you. If you're a senior and you're struggling with third grade work, somewhere we failed along the way, okay? But the truth is, there are a lot of folks that think that others always have it easy. Now, I can tell you, there are some folks that accomplish great things because they work hard, because they start early, they stay late, they put in some perspiration. They're successful because of the fact that they work their rears off. There's several men in the church and women in the church that I look up to because they're successful in some things, but then it wasn't given to them. They didn't inherit it from their parents. They weren't born with a silver spoon in their mouth. The truth is, if they have a silver spoon in their mouth, they earned it and bought it. Again, he said, don't compare yourself to those who have it easy. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 tells us to be real careful. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It is easy for us to think that we've arrived. It's easy for us to think that we don't need to work hard anymore. It's easy for us as adults to think that we've learned all we need to learn, but that is not the case. Now, if you're wondering if there's any task that you can face that's too hard for you and God, Jeremiah gives us a little insight in chapter 32. Here's what he says in verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. He reiterates it in verse 27 of Jeremiah chapter 32. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He asked a question, and the answer was no. He tells us in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, it's pretty hard for an old lady to have a baby. You and I can't accomplish that, but God did. Oh, by the way, he went a step farther than that. He had a virgin have a baby. And though there may be some folks who have tried to sell that truth to someone else, we all knew they were lying, but there was a time that it wasn't a lie because God did it. Now, people used to, I remember in Bible college, people came up and they said, can God make a rock so big that he can't pick it up? You said, that's a real puzzle. No, I don't waste my time with silly crap, but that's what that was. Because, by the way, if you say, no, God can do anything, well, if he can do anything, why can't he make a rock so big he can't pick it up? And you say, what is the answer to it? There is an answer. You slap the guy or girl that's saying it and say, mind your own business, find something else to do besides bother me. I got things to do. But again, there is nothing that you and I, with God's help. Now, there's some things that will be too hard for you. There's some things that will be too hard for me. That's why in our own strength, many times we fail. But if we depend upon him, and by the way, we count upon him, and we allow him to help us, that's why he tells us that verse we all can quote and memorize as kids, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, it means you can even do the hard things. It doesn't mean you, now, all of us know we can do the easy stuff, but the truth is you and I can do some hard stuff. We can accomplish some. Now, honestly, I look at Brother Howes and I think to myself, wow. When you think of who Brother Howes was, so sometimes, now again, some of the seniors have went back to my hometown. If I took you back and showed you my hometown and showed you where I grew up, I mean, you'd probably go, wow, Brother Block, and I'm still a redneck, and I'm still a country boy, and there's still things I say that I shouldn't say, and still things that I act, ways I act I shouldn't act, but I can tell you, I've came a long ways. I'm not that little country boy that I can tell you the first time when I went to Oklahoma City, not only was I homesick, but Oklahoma City was a big, big place compared to Secaucus, Missouri, population 1,075. I mean, there, again, when I think of some of you, and I know where some of you came from, I know what God, I mean, what you used to be, and to look at you now, and I think to myself, wow, you became, I mean, a great mom or dad, or a great grandpa or grandma, a good Sunday school teacher, a bus worker. I mean, God's done some amazing stuff with some of you, some hard stuff, because that's what God does. And by the way, God makes it look easy, because, again, is there anything too hard for him? The answer to that is no. Now, there's some stuff that might be too hard for you and I, which is why we must constantly call upon him for help. And by the way, when he helps us, we need to accept the help. And by the way, when we're done with it, don't take all the glory for yourself. Don't forget who it was that made you able to accomplish what you accomplished, and make sure you give the glory to him. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize there are some things we'll face in life that are hard. There'll be some things we don't have the answer to. But Lord, we come to the Word of God. We come to the